All in preparation for the challenges that lie ahead. This is a show that feeds the mind with inspiration and truth on the issues of the day. If it's important to your life, you'll find it here. Hosted by Malcolm Out Loud.
Well, have you seen the new Star Wars movie yet, The Force Awakens? Well, it's making some bucks out there. Just crossed the 1 billion mark, globally, that is. It is breaking all kinds of records, you know? But, you know, I never really was a big Star Wars guy, but, man, I know there are a lot of... It's like a cult following, actually. A lot of geeks out there love it. Now, I love to watch the film, don't get me wrong. I don't mind a good film like that. But it's not like I'd go out of my way or stand in line for like hours and hours or days. In fact, we reported on this. They started standing in line, I think it was like about 2 weeks ahead of time, about mid-December. They started a line on the West Coast and to watch this movie, so which is kind of strange today when you know that you can order your seats in advance. You can just go on any of the ticket sites and buy them in advance. But hey, in fact, they questioned a lot of the people in line and said, why would you do this? You know, why would you camp out here for like a week or two before the holidays? And their answer back? It's the experience. We love it for the experience. Now, that's what you call a Star Wars geek, isn't it? Well, actually, you know what they call them? Star Warians. That's the proper name, actually. That you call the people that are really into the Star Wars films. So, yeah, I'll see the film. I'll take a look and see it. Absolutely. Now, I'm hearing good reviews, actually, on it. If you critics are actually gave it good reviews. But, I mean, regular people gave it great reviews out there. And if you've seen it, I imagine you probably liked it, maybe. I haven't heard anybody yet who was disappointed. So I'm anxious to see it. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to see it. I'm not going to stand in line. And I don't normally go to the movies. I'm not an opening week kind of guy. Because, again, I don't like the crowds and the masses of people and all of that. So I tend to stay away, you know, with opening week on any movie, that is. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I'll see it the second week or the third week or an off time or something. But never really the first week here. So, anyways, 1 billion smackaroos worldwide this film has taken in already. And domestically, well, how about 544 million? That is a big number, my friends. It crossed this number in 12 days. This is a record now, okay? Biggest Christmas weekend overall in history. It beat out 269 million in 2009. That was the launch of Sherlock Holmes. And also, the second weekend of Avatar beat out second weekend numbers as well. I liked Avatar. That was a good movie, actually. And that's the kind of movie you can see more than once. Actually, I've watched it. I bought the movie a few years back, so we can watch it, one of those movies again and again, and kind of like it, actually. I hear the Chipmunks have a new movie out. I have not seen it. I actually forget Chip something or Chip for the Road, or I don't think it was Chip and Dale, but I think, you know, I love the Chipmunks, and part of the reason is I grew up with the Chipmunks as a young boy, and actually my middle name, my parents, they named me after one of the Chipmunks. I haven't told many people this, actually, but guess which one it was? Guess. One Theodore. Wasn't Simon. You guessed. Was the Hellraiser. It was Alvin. That's my middle name, Alvin. And I don't publicize that much, but a lot of people thought my folks didn't like me. With a first name like Malcolm and a middle name like Alvin, it was like, what? What kind of program is that? But yeah, it was named after one of the Chipmunks. So anyways, that's it with the movies. Let's get on to some life news now. And I'll tell you what. If you were in Georgia, in the Georgia area, outside of Georgia, actually, well, they weren't handing out speeding tickets. They were handing out, traffic tickets, it is. They were handing out $100 bills. That's a hell of a ticket to get here. So in one Georgia community, what they did is if you got pulled over for speeding, okay, so instead of getting a speeding ticket, they gave you $100. $100. One lady says, can I hug you, to the officer? And this was after being pulled over by the deputy, who would have given this person a ticket, actually. And they admitted that. But instead, they got $100. So how did it happen? Well, somebody, an anonymous donor, gave $5,400 to launch the Goodwill Drive. 5,400 smackaroos. at $100 a piece, that'll keep things quiet or busy, depending on how you look at it, for a little while. And actually, somebody then gave another $5,000 to keep the program going. It was doing so well. So, hey, congratulations to them. That's just outside of the Atlanta area, 60 miles south of Atlanta, actually, in a little Georgia community here. And that's an interesting way to celebrate the holidays or get a payoff or speeding, huh? And you hear this very strange video that was circulating about a man who walked off a cliff and plummeted 60 feet to his death. And guess what? On Christmas Day, he was distracted by his cell phone, was the initial reports. This is in Sunset Cliffs in San Diego, California. Wow. This is not a made-up story, my friends. This was all over the news, actually. And so he wasn't watching where he was going, obviously, and he had the thing in his hands, the phone in his hands, and distracted, as many people are, whether they're walking or driving or whatever they're doing, and he went right off the cliff, and he died. A few people kind of went down the mountain quick to try to help the man, and they tried to give him CPR and all, and to no avail. He was a goner. Now, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, if you're near a cliff and you're walking off like that, you got to be a bit of an idiot. I'm sorry, but it's the way I see that one. So, and then you see this gingerbread house you can dine in. I'm not making that up either. That's out in Arizona. Hansel and Gretel. You remember the fairy tale there? Well, they made a gingerbread house larger than life. And it's at a, get a load of this, at a Ritz-Carlton in Dove Mountain. And you can actually eat in the gingerbread house, but you got to put up $150 first. That's the deal. You pay $150, and then you can, and that's not the food. That's just the pleasure of having the house. But they say it's kind of cool. And the winner is, well, I mean the runner-up. Yeah, the Miss Universe pageant and host Steve Harvey doubled down on the apologies after an excruciating live television moment, my friends, announcing incorrectly that Miss Columbia had won and then taking the crown from her head, no, nonetheless, to give it to Miss Philippines. Well, Miss Columbia ain't too happy. It appears she has an attorney. Imagine that, huh? Next, you'll meet a pageant winner who will fill us in on the psychology and the fallout from an evening that Steve Harvey hopes we'll all soon forget. And you'll know who that is on the other side of the break. Well, and the winner is, well, I mean the runner-up. Well, the Miss Universe pageant and host Steve Harvey doubled down on the apologies after an excruciating live television moment, well, at least for some that is, announcing incorrectly that Miss Columbia had won and then taken the crown from her head to give it to the Philippines. An amazing moment for any reason, and for live television, how can you make this stuff up? But it's Malcolm All Out here. Welcome back here. But this, everybody knows this story by now. If you live anywhere on planet Earth, you've heard about what Steve Harvey has done. And so let's talk about it. Everyone's abuzz with this Miss Universe pageant. And again, Steve Harvey had a pretty good reputation, but if you didn't know his name before, you know it now, and announcing the wrong winner. Surprisingly, I'm going to tell you what, maybe Steve Harvey and Miss Philippines may be the big winners of the night. I don't know if our guest agrees with us, but I want you to meet Erin Morgart, and she's the reigning Miss United Nations, Miss Galaxy Virginia 2012. You have a whole history here, Erin, a fitness supermodel. You've got a resume I couldn't pot. We'd take an hour going through all this. She's a social media maven and movie reality show star. What I do like, Erin, that I read in your background, you majored in psychology with a passion for the human psyche. That's going to help us in this next segment. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I am honored and pleased to be on the show and be able to talk about this topic and others. So thank you so much for having me.
It's good to be with you, man. It's good to be. You're doing so great things out there, and it's a thrill to have you. Well, listen, I want to get into a little bit of the psychology in a few moments and some other things about this. But let's take it from the top here, and I want to ask you, do you think there's any chance or possibility that Steve Harvey or Miss Philippines could be the winners of the night?
I think that the actual winner, according to her recent lawsuit, is Miss Columbia. She is suing for $5 million. So I think she's actually going to be the grand prize winner of...
Wait a minute, I didn't hear this. She's actually suing for $5 million?
Oh, yes. Yes. She is suing for $5 million. And I'm surprised that she's even settling for that small of an amount. Yes, that came out last night. And I'm not surprised. So,
Erin, do you think she could win this? Do you think it's possible she could win that suit?
Oh, I absolutely. I think she'll find a way to twist it. It'll become political. You know how things work, and so I think she will actually. They will settle. Steve Harvey's camp, his agent, his manager. They will settle for it. I would bet $5 million that they will settle the $5 million settlement. Yes.
Wow, so we got $10 million riding on this then.
That's right. Mine is Monopoly money.
There you go. That's the way to do it, man. I love to play with Monopoly money. All right. When the production firm, okay, who put this whole thing on, which was WMEIMG, Mark Shapiro, the chief content officer, okay,
yes.
He was asked if they'd have Steve Harvey back again as host next season, all right? And without hesitation, Shapiro says, absolutely, absolutely. If anything, I'm sure Fox would support this. I definitely want him back, and I would hate to see him not come back. He's going to want to a shot to redeem himself. What do you think of that? You think they'd have him back? And is there some positive to this?
Well, again, you know, the way Hollywood works, the way media works, you know, any exposure is good exposure. This is a major faux pas, and it doesn't fall along the same lines as the Benghazi faux pas, if you will. This is simply someone who just misread the names, if you will. And people like Steve Harvey. They think he's funny. I think he's funny. They enjoy his humor. And I think they're trying to save face. And it's going to bring even more publicity the next show. Because they'll wait to see if he mispronounces the next winner.
Think they will have him back then?
I think they absolutely will. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting that a lot of people believe these pageants have lost their sparkle in recent years, that some of them possibly have. And, you know, whether they have or not, I don't really know, but some people believe they have. And I wonder, you know, some people are saying that this was nothing more than a publicity stunt, that it might be a staged event. Is there any truth to that, you think, or what?
I believe that it possibly could. And the only reason I say that is because with the Philippines, they are actually, you know, right now, the way the United States Navy is operating, they have ships over in China, very close to some of the islands that are owned between China and the Philippine Islands. And I know a lot about history and all that. And nothing surprises me because they like to create chaos, meaning Hollywood, and to do that, you know, there has to be some kind of even something as small as this happening. And
well, let's face it, Erin, anytime there's a story to a story, it just stretches it out and it gets so much more media. Look at all the shows in the last few days, the last week, that have been talking about this event. I mean, you couldn't get that publicity for this if you tried, right?
No, you could not. No.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, maybe. So when I started this, I said to you that very possibly he may be the winner in all of this. I mean, I'll tell you, I kind of cringe. When it all happened and I seen it playback, I mean, it was sort of a crazy moment that I thought, I mean, like when I watched the video, okay, and I see this, I mean, you could feel the awkwardness of all of it. I mean, this lady is standing there, she's got a crown on her head, and she's not even the winner. And then they go over and take it off. Now, I wouldn't be surprised to see Miss Philippines sue at this point. Maybe she'd sue for $200 million. You know?
Well, she might, or even, I think of the Sandra Bullock movie. I was thinking that the winner, or the actual second place winner, Miss Columbia, that she would just like hold on to the crown and not give it back. Just hold on to it.
I wondered that too, Erin. I really did. I thought, I wonder if she's going to say, get the hell out of here. Keep keeping that on my head, girl.
That's right. This is mine. You made the mistake. Too bad. You know, that you're going to have to deal with that.
But what she could have done that. What would they have done? I mean, they would have they would have had to crawl under a rock. I mean, that would have been crazy.
It would have been nuts. And the gifts would have come out of everywhere. It would have been not funny, but sort of funny. Okay, it would have been very funny. I admit it would have been very funny. It would have been embarrassing. And of course, I think what they would have done is, they would then definitely have called in their lawyers, papered up, you know, decided who's getting what, and then quietly trying to make it go away, especially right before Christmas. I mean, you know, they're just it's nothing surprises me in the scripting of reality shows, live shows. Believe me, I know, because I just finished wrapping one. So once the people have the product, it is up to the editors and the directors as
well. Listen, that card, I want to talk, that card, for instance, that you read off of, it is a strange-looking card. In fact, you know, believe it or not, I've seen, since this has happened, I've actually, there have been some top design companies in the country, believe it or not, that have redesigned the card.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they have for the production company and the pageant, and I've actually seen the redesigns, and it's kind of funny, and they just, I mean, listen, Aaron, they took a cheap index card. I mean, really, and they have, like, over to the left, the little winners, and I mean, the first and second runner-up, and then the winner here, and the name very small underneath. It's all a little weird, and I guess at the moment, I guess it's possible to screw that up, huh?
I saw that. It looked like something that I used to use in college, like a cheat index card, you know, like they whited out something and put something. It looked very, 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 very strange to me. And I thought the same thing. I thought, this is crazy. They should have like a gold plated announcement card with here are
that's what some of the design companies did. One design company took a couple of colors and they put like the winner in color in a big square, and you kind of you couldn't miss it, you know. You know, but here, you know, they just use this. So I guess in all fairness to Harvey at the moment, but then, you know, here's the other thing, though, I want to tell you. But then Harvey goes ahead and he sends a tweet out and misspells the two countries' names.
Okay, I saw that. And I thought, you know what, that is beyond my sarcasm level. And really, I have to be careful because there is absolutely no reason in the world for that.
I mean, it's not even funny anymore. Comedian or no comedian, Aaron, come on. It's a little stupid at that point, if you ask me.
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. I was actually in college before becoming a psych major. I wanted to be an English lit professor, so I used to grade medical school papers for my friends. I was a grammar Nazi, so I was like all about proper spelling.
And you know everything, you know full well in your persona that everything is a reflection of our image. But to send this tweet out misspelled the countries was unbelievable. Aaron, hold it right there. We're going to just snap through a quick break here. And on the other side of the break, I want to talk more about the psychology. And I'm going to tell you a couple of other things that Mark Shapiro said, who again is the chief content officer for the production company, WMEIMG. We'll be right back with you, folks, with Aaron Morgart. She's the reigning Miss United Nation. I didn't know they had a Miss United Nation. It's kind of cool, isn't it?
They actually do. And in fact, I mean, since I was in there, I won for the United States in 2012 and 2013. At that point, they were relatively still a little small, but now they have grown considerably. And what a lot of people don't know is that Donald Trump actually, yes, I mentioned his name, Donald Trump, he is slightly involved with the United Nations pageant. Many people don't know that, but they are partially funded by Donald Trump.
Well, interesting, interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, all right. So, you know, the cool thing about you is you're not, I mean, and what I really like about, I'll be straight with you, is that looking at your history here, and you can find out, again, a lot more about Aaron's profile on LinkedIn. It's another great resource, but you know, you're not only a beautiful person, but you are beautiful on the inside, and you are smart as a whip, man. So, I mean, look at it. What you've studied, your credentials and stuff. So, you know, I mean this in a good way. I always talk about people being beautiful inside and outside. You know what I mean?
Yes, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a compliment. I mean, I'm that way. I mean, I like to think about us on the inside, and I don't know. There's just something to that. I always reference the brink of greatness, where we celebrate the human spirit, and you got to check that out a little more, Aaron. We've got lot to happen with the brink of greatness ahead. But listen, I want to get back to this, and we were talking about the tweet before the break. But you know, I want to tell you, the headlines in the media over the past week has been beyond the universe. Let alone this was for Miss Universe; it was probably galactical. I mean, you could hear this probably on the Star Wars ships when it comes to the publicity push on this thing. I mean, Steve Harvey. They say he was in his dressing room afterward, just about in tears, and feeling so horrible. But the headlines here now. So one of the headlines here, Steve Harvey ruins everything, crowns the wrong Miss Universe, screamed one of the headlines. And there were so many more like it. And then I got to tell you, Aaron, they have a GIF file which continues to show them removing the crown. Where they're taking the crown off of her head and putting it on the other head, and they keep replaying that. You know how a GIF file is, you know?
I totally saw that.
Oh, man. You just keep rubbing that in. It's like, I want to rub this in your face and keep rubbing it in your face,
their
you know?
Faces! Oh, my gosh, it was so embarrassing. I had to stop watching it. At first, I was mesmerized, and I'm like, no, after 30 seconds, I had to stop. I'm like, nope. I'm done watching. That's
yeah,
too
well,
much.
Miss Philippines was the proper winner. Now, which one is suing again? Philippines or Colombia? Remind me.
Colombia.
Colombia's suing. Well, I can't blame her. I mean, she was humiliated. I mean, she was like, I don't even know how to describe that feeling. You just want to crawl off the stage, don't you?
You absolutely would. And frankly, because she's from another country, and I hate to say this, but, you know, people look at the USA still as, well, you know, it's the United States. We can afford anything and everything. So we'll just sue whoever we need to sue and get whatever we need. And they'll pay us whatever we want. And I think a lot of countries have that mentality. So it didn't take her long to decide, hey, let's just sue and see what happens.
Well, that's the way it is. I mean, that's what everybody does out there. But it was a humiliating moment for this young lady. It would be humiliating for anybody. Well, anyway, so Mark Shapiro, who's the chief content officer again for WMEIMG, the production company, and he was in charge of the pageant, says, and I quote, "It just was a flat-out mistake. I mean, on the left side of the card, and it's been tweeted around, obviously, it says third runner-up, USA. Second runner-up, Miss Colombia. And then on the right side of the card, in letters, it says 2015 Miss Universe. And underneath that, but it was pretty small if you look at the card, Aaron.
I saw that.
It said Philippines. It's a very strange card, actually. He also added that the card could be made simpler in the future, featuring only the winner and first. You think? I mean, they've got to fix that card. My golly, as I said, some design companies have already, you know, recreated the card. Let's talk about, will people forgive? I mean, where does this thing go ahead? Let's talk about the psychology in this, because as we started to talk about, you know, a lot of these things are staged events, and whether this is or isn't, we really don't know. But the point is that, you know, It's taken this pageant now, and it's like they've gotten like a huge amount of publicity you would never be able to afford to buy for something like this. Everybody's talking about it on radio and television, you know?
Oh, yes.
And you just have to question and wonder. So a lot of people are saying, will they forgive? What does this do to Steve Harvey's legacy, you think?
I think for him personally, I think he's going to be quite embarrassed. I don't foresee him making any play or jokes on what he did. I think he's going to try to avoid it, gloss it over, because I think that's not, he wants to be known and respected as someone who's able to help people with problems and be, you know, very versatile as a person, an actor, a talk show host, if you will. I think he's going to really try and avoid this at all costs. So he's not going to make fun of himself like a lot of people do. And if they do it well, they actually can play it off. And
get a lot of miles out of it, huh?
Yeah, get a lot of miles. I think he will avoid it to the hilt. Now, of course, you know, this is going to be on SNL forever.
I can't wait to see that on SNL. That's a great point.
It is. They'll totally rake him over the coals. You know, that's a given. But I think that my gut feeling is they didn't stage this. I think that it was just quickly done by Steve Harvey. I think it was an honest mistake.
You don't think it was staged then? Okay.
I don't foresee why it would be, because in looking at it politically, I don't see how that would benefit the countries. So unless
they badly needed the publicity.
Either that, or they were trying to make a political statement against the Philippine Islands because they are fighting over this.
Wow, isn't that a point? That's a very interesting.
They're fighting over a small sequence of islands called islands of Sulu and Sabah. And those islands have been fought over between China, Malaysia, and the Philippine Islands. They're all claiming that they own it. Those islands are rife with...
Yeah, there's a lot of political strife over there in the South China Seas, and that's been talking point. You're so right. You're so right.
So you never know. You never know exactly who is pulling the strings and why, but...
Well, I'm kind of with you. I don't think Steve Harvey is going to live this down anytime soon. I think we're all going to remember. I think it is going to be part of his legacy, Aaron. I think people are going to remember that. That's the guy who did that. I mean...
Yes.
It was such a strange moment of time. I almost didn't believe it even happened when I seen it. I said, how the hell did they get the winner wrong? You
know? All I can say is everything from now on is going to be large print for him.
I know. Aaron, do you have a website or something we should tell people about? Or
find me on Facebook. I'm under there. My public profile is Aaron J. Morgart. Most of the things that I do right now, I'm posting there. I do have a website under aaronjmorgart.com. Again, that one is being redone.
All right, I got to get to here, but let me just tell folks again, Aaron Morgart, and you can find Aaron on Facebook as one of the easy places. LinkedIn, she's got a great profile on LinkedIn, on Twitter. You find out more about her. You got your hands on all kinds of things. You're playing with documentaries and new films coming up and all kinds of stuff. So such a pleasure. You're an absolute delight. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I just loved it. Thank you so much. You're a wonderful host.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Right back after the break. Well, I think a lot of people are ready to leave 2015 in the books and call it a year, if you will, and get on to another year. It's not been a good year for a lot of people, for a lot of reasons, that is, as well. I mean, you can't just pin one thing on 2015 and say that was it. It's a whole host of things that went wrong. But, and then, of course, we got to look at 2016. So there are two things I want to do for you here in this next segment here. There, an interesting piece I have, 10 issues that will shape our world in 2016. Interesting. And, of course, part of this is an interesting movie I seen the other night here that ties into this shape in the world in 2016. Before I get to that, and a lot to cover in this next segment, so I want to give you my three failures of 2015. Now, there were a lot of failures in 2015. There were some successes as well. I always say there's a lot of good news out there, and you can find that good news at brinkofgreatness.com. But, I'm going to give you some failures here and tell you three things that happened in 2015 or that were part of our year in 2015. And I don't think they did anything for us. I just assume that they weren't there, but they are part of our culture, I guess. Well, yeah, that's a good way to put it. They've become part of our cultural stream, our stream of thought, if you will, stream of thought. And so here's the three. I'm going to give you the first one. We'll talk about it. It's going to be Drudge. You know the Drudge Report? Sure you do. Everybody knows the Drudge Report. Well, the drudgereport.com, and this is one of the strangest phenomenons I've ever did see. I mean, how does somebody get the success level of a Drudge Report? I mean, anybody, a lot of times I'm on different shows or different radio things, and they all know about the Drudge Report. Everybody talks about it, and they say, oh, did you hear such and such or see the item on the Drudge Report? And really, you know what, the Drudge Report, there's nothing new really going on the Drudge Report. It's all regurgitated news. There's really no strong opinions or thoughts. It's just regurgitated. People just go there to find out the same regurgitation in the newswire that you can find anywhere else. But this Drudge Report became a phenomenon, and I don't really get it. I mean, when you look at it, I tell people all the time, there's nothing new here. Go to OutLoudAmerica.com. You've got a hell of a lot more news, and more information and insight as to what's going on. But people tend to go here. It's like the neighborhood saloon, if you will. People go to the neighborhood just sometimes it's not the greatest looking place. It doesn't have the best decor. The food isn't even that good. But it's just something about the people and the collection of stories you might get there. I think that's probably what the Drudge Report has going on. Right on the headline is the Clinton, Trump, and dead heat. And, what's interesting, there's, again, if you ask me, a very badly designed site. It's just Well, it's like a basic, it looks like a Times Roman font, and it is just three columns, black and white, nothing special. There are really no images or pictures here, but a few ads. Although they will put typically one image up front. Sometimes you'll find another little image in here, but not often. It's usually one image up front that you can brag about. This one here has Hillary and Bill Clinton, okay? And they're out with their daughter, Chelsea Clinton. You know, she's got a stroller, baby carriage. She's pushing the baby. And that must be the son-in-law behind Hillary. I'm not positive. I don't quite remember what he looks like. Although he looks a little frumpy here. If that is him, he doesn't look like he's well-dressed or something. And, of course, Hillary looks a bit frumpy. She's got sort of an oversized jacket on, coat, and sunglasses. Now, Bill's behind Chelsea, and you can't make him out a lot, but he's right behind her. And this is a little image they got on the Drudge Report, and they're out just for a little family stroll, and you can see some other people behind them. I don't know who they are, but I can rest assured that the Secret Service is not too far behind. Keep in mind, you have here a president, an ex-president. They have Secret Service for the rest of their lives. And then you've got a presidential candidate as well. And so this is a very popular family. And so obviously that's a little image they have on there. But the Drudge Report, I don't really go here for anything. I just know that in 2015, I didn't see what the excitement was of this. Yet they go here for the news. On shows, a lot of people say, oh, did you see the Drudge Report? No, I didn't see the Drudge Report. What's on there, man? And they'll tell me. But somehow, whatever this is an attraction with, I don't know. I don't get the attraction. To me, that's one of the big failures of 2015, for sure. The next one is the Apple iWatch. That's my number two failure of 2015. Do you own one? I don't know. If you do, I'm sorry. But the Apple iWatch is another failure. And, you know, I got to tell you, I've looked at this iWatch business, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. I'm not understanding what the whole excitement here is of an overpriced watch that everybody else has. It looks very commonplace. I don't know. There's something about a watch to me that was always supposed to be unique. If you're going to wear one, like a piece that represents who you are, like you know, you're in a restaurant, you're out somewhere, and you know, imagine having a watch that you know everybody else has. It's just nothing special about it. I'm not getting that kind of a watch. It becomes very generic. I don't like it. And this one here, though, is you can get a color band and everything, but, you know, they all look pretty much the same. An iWatch is an iWatch. I mean, that's the design. That's how Apple does it. But why do you need all this stuff on your wrist now? I don't get it. I mean, the Apple iWatch, they say, first of all, I've looked at the tech reports in the last few days here for you, and now it isn't designed to replace your iPhone. But you can do things with it, but your iPhone has to be close by, so it has to communicate with your iPhone. So why bother? Why bother? And, you know, we used to wear watches, and I think a lot of us got away from them because your time now is on your phones, and it's big on your phones. It's on your iPhone or whatever phone you have. It's on Android phones, on any phone. So your watch, it became sort of irrelevant, more or less. I don't even wear a watch anymore. I've become, I don't know, I just don't wear them anymore. I used to wear them. In fact, I used to have a nice, the hell was that? I don't know. It was a simple one with a diamond a fake diamond, I guess, at the very top. I like simple things. I don't want a lot of clutter on them. But the watch thing, I haven't worn one in a few years now. I've gotten used to the phone, and you always got your phone with you. I mean, nobody goes there without their smartphone or something. And that's got the time right on it. So I don't need the watch. I don't like the watch. And to me, less is more. You know what I mean? I'm a less is more kind of guy. Simple. Keep it simple. I want it nice. I want it to work. I want it to look good, but I want to keep it simple. So less is more to me. So I don't need this Apple Watch business. And again, if you want to make whatever you're going to do with it, if it's a call or this or that, you've got to keep your phone close by so it does all these other activities. Looking at the reviews, the watch doesn't have a GPS receiver yet. So if your phone isn't around, you can't track the distance you've traveled beyond measuring your steps. It doesn't have its own camera, but what the hell would you want a camera in your watch for? What are you going to do, take your watch off and shoot a picture? Or hold it up like Dick Tracy and shoot a picture? I don't understand this watch thing. Isn't a watch to tell time? I mean, I don't think anybody's probably using it for the time. I bet they're all using it for all these other fangled things, but the screen is so small, they say you can watch a movie in it. Why would you want to watch a movie in a watch? I mean, you're all going to be blind. You're going to be blind as a bat here. You can't. It's tiny. Now, these things start around, well, I think the littlest one is just almost $400 for the cheapest one. And according to the reports I see, they go up to like $17,000. I don't know what that $17,000 comes from. Maybe it comes with a Secret Service agent or something. I don't know. But that is darn expensive for a, well, for a generic-looking watch. It's not like it's some fancy thing. I mean, I'm looking at them here on the screen, and there's nothing really exciting about it. So again, I'm not into the iWatch. That's another failure to me for the year, and I, rest assured, I will not be buying one. I don't know about you, but I will not be buying one. So that's number two. First one was Drudge, the Drudge Report. Second one is Apple iWatch. And my third failure of the year, Alex Jones. You ever hear of that guy, the radio guy? I really never listened to him. I listened to him once or twice a year or so, early in the year maybe it was, when I heard people were talking about him. And he's, I guess you kind of call him a conspiracy guy. He's a radio guy, kind of a host guy. But he does all these conspiracy stories. And he's got, again, another cult-like following. Not the same cult of the people that are probably watching Star Wars, although some of them maybe. But he, this whole conspiracy thing, I mean, again, Alex Jones has got that space that is really entertainment, or infotainment, if you will, infotainment, where you get some information, but it's a hell of a lot of entertainment. I think that's a new category we're calling it, infotainment. So it's all sort of combined together, you know? And that's kind of what he does. That's his space. Well, I find that that's a lot of the problems, is the extremists and lunatics out there. They kind of the far right, the far left, and then the far out. And I guess he's probably the far out and the far right, I think. Well, I'm sure he is looking at it. I don't see he has any left-minded stuff in there. But again, I think he's another failure of the new year. So anyways, my life lessons for today for you, I'll give you three of them right now. Don't go to thedrudgereport.com. Go to outloudamerica.com. I'll give you more back there. Don't buy an Apple iWatch. Don't waste your money on that stuff. If you've got a phone, you probably don't even need a watch. And the third is, don't follow the conspiracy theorists, my friend. They're nothing but infotainment, and at that, they don't do a hell of a good job. And there's a lot of them out there, actually. But we can all have fun with real news and do cool things. Anyways, brinkofgreatness.com. You'll find a whole lot of success back there. We're celebrating, folks. Thanks for being with me today. We covered a lot here. And thanks to Aaron Morgard, our guest. It's Malcolm All Out. We'll see you next time. Remember, get involved, get loud.